Welcome to Teck's 2016 Sustainability Report conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we'll conduct a question-answer session. This conference call is being recorded on Monday, May the 8th, 2017. And I'll have to turn the conference call over to Mr. Fraser Phillips, Senior Vice President, Investor Relations and Strategic Analysis. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks very much, John. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Teck's fourth annual conference call to discuss our sustainability report. Before we start, I'd like to draw your attention to the forward-looking information on slide 2. This presentation contains forward-looking statements regarding our business. However, various risks and uncertainties may cause actual results to vary. Teck does not assume the obligation to update any forward-looking statement. We are joined today on the call by Don Lindsay, our President and CEO, Marcia Smith, our Senior Vice President of Sustainability and External Affairs, Mark Edwards, our Vice President of Community and Government Relations, and Jeff Hammond, our Vice President of Corporate Affairs. The agenda for the call is on slide 3. We will provide you with an overview of our approach to sustainability, how we identify and manage our most material sustainability issues, and our performance in those areas. To start with, we'd like to provide you with a current overview of our company and talk about our business strategy and performance. For that, I'd like to turn the call over to Don Lindsay, our President and CEO.
Thanks very much, Fraser, and good morning, everyone. I'm starting on slide 5. I want to begin today by providing you with an overview of Teck's business. We are a leading Canadian diversified resource company, the largest producer of steelmaking coal in North America, and the second largest global supplier of seaborne steelmaking coal in the world. We are also amongst the world's largest miners of zinc, a significant producer of copper, and we have a growing energy division. Our headquarters are in Vancouver on Canada's west coast, and we have operations in Canada, the United States, Chile, and Peru, and we explore in over a dozen countries worldwide. Our roots are Canadian, and we've been in business for over 100 years. On slide 6, our approach to business is built around 6 components. The first is the foundation of our strategy, that's investing in long-life, low-cost assets in stable jurisdictions in order to generate value throughout multiple price cycles. In support of that, we make sustainability a part of everything we do, because we know that responsible mining and mineral development are fundamental to our current and future success. We aim to recruit and retain the best people to ensure we have the skills to grow and to strengthen our business. We maintain balance sheet strength so that we have the resilience to weather challenges and the capacity to be nimble in response to opportunity. And we maximize productivity and efficiency through a focus on operating excellence. Our people are at the core of our sustainability efforts, and nothing is more important than the health and safety of our employees and contractors. Our vision is for everyone to go home safe and healthy every day. And we believe that it is possible to work without serious injuries and fatalities. Our major focus in safety is on managing high potential risk, those risks that have the greatest potential to seriously or fatally injure someone. Since 2013, we have had a 50% reduction in the frequency of high potential incidents, and we've also had zero fatalities in both 2016 and 2015, which tells us our high potential risk control strategy is working. However, we know we have more work to do. That's why in 2016, we started to roll out the fourth phase of our Courageous Safety Leadership Program across all of our operations. And this program is for all employees and contractors and is focused on enhancing our culture of safety. We also advanced our occupational health and hygiene strategy, completing comprehensive occupational risk exposure assessments at 10 of our 13 operations in 2016. On slide 8, turning now to our financial results, our revenues in 2016 were $9.3 billion, with gross profit before depreciation and amortization of $3.8 billion. After removing impairment charges and other unusual items, adjusted profit attributable to shareholders was $1.1 billion, or $1.91 per share. And this was a significant increase in comparison to 2015 due to largely to improved commodity prices in the latter half of 2016. As per our announcement on April 25th, in the first quarter of 2017, our revenues were $2.9 billion, with gross profit before depreciation and amortization of $1.5 billion. Adjusted profit attributed to shareholders was $671 million, or $1.16 per share. And with the significant cash flow being generated by the business, we also took steps to strengthen our balance sheet and have retired approximately $2.1 billion U.S. of debt in just over a year and a half. Moving now to our sustainability performance on slide 9, and we'll get into more detail on 2016 performance shortly, but I wanted to highlight a few items. First, we made good progress on our short-term sustainability goals as outlined in our sustainability strategy. And this follows the successful completion of our original set of short-term sustainability goals, which came to a close in 2015. Second, our sustainability performance was again recognized by several ranking institutions over the past year. For example, Tech was named to the Dow Jones Sustainability World Index for the 7th consecutive year. We are also members of the International Council on Mining and Metals, and we follow their 10 principles for sustainable development. And we adhere to the Mining Association of Canada's Towards Sustainable Mining program. Lastly, we had strong performance in our most material sustainability topics, which Marcia Smith will speak to in more detail shortly. Looking ahead, our focus through 2017 remains on the most essential aspects of our business, including delivering on our production and cost targets for our steelmaking, coal, and base metals business units, advancing our priority projects, that is Fort Hills and QB2, and continuing to look for additional opportunities to reduce debt. Through it all, we will be guided by our commitment to sustainability. Our strategy is driving further improvements in critical areas, including risks and opportunities associated with, for example, water and tailings management, air quality, and our relationships with communities and Indigenous peoples. I'd now like to turn it over to Marcia to talk in more detail about our approach to sustainability and our performance in this area. Marcia.
Thanks, Don. I'm on slide 12. As this slide illustrates, we take into consideration the economic, social, and environmental context that influences our business. On an annual basis, we determine the key sustainability topics that were most important to our stakeholders and our business in the past year. This annual materiality assessment guides our people to ensure that our goals align with our actions on the ground. And that really is the essence of Teck's sustainability strategy. Turning now to slide 13, Teck's approach to managing long-term sustainability risks and opportunities is built on six areas of focus: community, water, our people, biodiversity, energy and climate change, and air. For each of these focus areas, we've set goals that stretch out to 2030 with short-term five-year goals to guide our actions along the way. Currently, we're working towards our next set of short-term goals through to 2020. And if you would like more information on our sustainability goals and progress, you can find that on our website. Moving to slide 14. As we advance our strategy, we also take into consideration external standards and best practices. And one example of this is our alignment with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, commonly known as the SDGs. Our first step towards alignment was working to understand both the positive and negative impacts of our activities on each SDG. And for those of you who are interested in Teck's performance on the SDGs, I urge you to take some time to explore the interactive graphic that's pictured here and that can be found on our website. Users can select any SDG, such as SDG 6 on clean water and sanitation, to learn more about how Teck contributes to that goal. And this year, we've included connections to specific SDGs in our sustainability report for the first time. Turning now to the most significant sustainability topics in the past year, I want to talk today about four of our most material topics, our performance in those areas, and the outlook for 2017. Let's first start with a summary of our most material sustainability topics. In 2016, these covered a range of issues, from air quality through to business ethics. As I said, I'm not going to cover all of these topics this morning, but I invite you to learn more about them in our 2016 sustainability report, which is available on our website or through the links in this presentation. And I'm also pleased to note that our 2016 sustainability report is in accordance with the new GRI standards, one of the first reports in the world to make that transition. Moving now to slide 17, many of our operations are located very close to communities. In addition, the majority of our operations and most of our development projects are located within or immediately adjacent to Indigenous peoples' territories. So that makes developing and maintaining strong relationship with communities essential to our business. Our approach is to build strong relationships with communities and create lasting mutual benefits based on shared value. We're guided in this work by our human rights policy and our Indigenous peoples policy. And these were created to align with key international frameworks, including the UN Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights and the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. We actively support and respect the protection of human rights, and we engage with local communities throughout the life cycle of our projects. We also work to achieve the free, prior, and informed consent of Indigenous peoples for our activities, and we work with them to achieve self-defined community goals that provide lasting benefits. And one example of this is our engagement with NANA, which is the regional Alaska Native Corporation owned by the Inupiaq people of Northwest Alaska, along with the Northwest Arctic Borough near our Red Dog operation. Through constructive dialogue between TEC, the Northwest Arctic Borough, and NANA, a new payment in lieu of taxes agreement was finalized in April of this year. The agreement will provide an increase in annual payments to the borough, facilitating enhanced benefits and long-term sustainability for the region. This new agreement has a total estimated value in the range of $20 to $26 million per year over 10 years. We believe that strong and positive relationships are typically reflected through the development of formal agreements. In 2016, we had 54 active agreements in place with Indigenous peoples, and these range from long-term complex agreements to short-term memorandums of understanding. The agreements include all of our active mining operations that are located in the traditional territory of Indigenous people, in addition to agreements related to our exploration and project development activities. Moving forward, we will continue to focus on engaging local communities as we prepare to close our Coal Mountain operations and advance our projects, including Frontier, Puebla Blanca Phase 2, and Nueva Union. I just want to turn for a moment to an example of a major agreement that we signed last year on slide 18. About a year ago today, TEC signed a comprehensive impact management and benefit agreement with the Tanaha Nation, covering all of our steelmaking coal mines in the Elk Valley of British Columbia. This agreement spans approximately 40 years and is one of the most comprehensive of its kind in Canada. It sets out commitments for both parties on environmental and cultural stewardship, and it will create lasting benefits for the Tanaha and increase certainty for the future of sustainable mining in that region. Moving to the next slide. In the mining industry, women and Indigenous people are underrepresented. And at TEC, it is our goal to build a more diverse workforce that includes more women and more Indigenous peoples. And we're doing this because we know that a more diverse workforce will make us a better company. In 2016, we saw a 9% increase in the number of women in technical and operational roles at TEC. And while this is good news, women still only make up 15% of our workforce, so we know that much more work needs to be done. That's why our Executive Diversity Committee developed and released an inclusion and diversity policy in 2016, which was endorsed by our board. This policy comes to life through site-based diversity initiatives such as skills development programs and partnerships with educational institutions and other organizations. And moving forward, we'll continue to focus on improving our recruitment practices, undertaking training such as unconscious bias training, and advancing external partnerships to support women and Indigenous people, such as our work with UN Women in Chile. I'm on slide 20, and I want to address another material topic for us, environmental management. We recognize that effective environmental management requires a broad perspective to understand and manage the long-term impacts of our activities over the mining life cycle. And at TEC, our approach to environmental management is based on implementing comprehensive strategies, policies, and management standards that are focused on water management, tailings and mine waste management, air quality, biodiversity, and energy and climate change. Our policies and standards embrace best industry best practice, and to ensure that we meet both internal and external requirements, We conduct regular audits to confirm a high level of performance across our operations and legacy properties. And overall, our environmental performance continued to improve in 2016. Compared to the previous year, we saw improved compliance with environmental permits, and we saw a decrease in both the number and severity of environmental incidents. We have maintained a reduction in water use of 11% over 2013 levels, despite increasing production. Our performance has been recognized by the Mining Association of Canada with a Towards Sustainable Mining Leadership Award for both our Elkview and our Highland Valley Copper operations. We've also undertaken a number of specific initiatives at our operations and legacy properties to continually improve environmental performance. For example, at Trail Operations in British Columbia, we invested $35 million into a new smelter recycle building that will reduce fugitive dust emissions by up to 25%, further improving air quality and reducing exposure to metals. And moving forward, along with a variety of environmental performance initiatives in 2017, we will advance a cross-country water steering committee to enhance our overall water strategy. I'm now on slide 21, and I'd like to spend a few minutes on climate action. We recognize the need to take action on climate change, and we are committed to reducing GHG emissions by improving energy efficiency and implementing low-carbon technologies. We also know that a rising carbon price and regulatory requirements around GHG emissions are likely to present both risks and opportunities for us to monitor and manage. Our climate strategy to contribute to global climate action is built around four pillars: reducing our carbon footprint, positioning tech for the lower carbon economy, advocating for climate action, and adapting to the physical impacts of climate change. And today, our copper and steelmaking coal operations are amongst the lowest carbon intensity in the world compared to our peers. Since 2011, tech has reduced GHG emissions by over 217,000 tons, which is a 7% reduction in our overall GHG emissions. And we've reduced energy use by more than 1,500 terajoules. Long term, it is our goal to reduce energy use by 6,000 terajoules, reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 450,000 tons, and commit to 100 megawatts of alternative energy. We also continue to invest in alternative sources of energy, and pictured on this slide is the Sun Mine. Located on our reclaimed Sullivan Mine site, the Sun Mine is a great example of how effective environmental management related to mine closure can create new economic opportunities and also support alternative energy development. In this call last year, I spoke about the water quality plan for the Elk Valley, where five of our steelmaking coal operations are located. And today, I want to give you an update on that plan. In 2013 and 2014, we worked with First Nations, governments, and communities in the Elk Valley to develop an innovative watershed-based plan for managing water quality, the first of its kind in North America. The plan, known as the Elk Valley Water Quality Plan, was developed in response to decades of mining in the valley, which has generated large quantities of leftover rock. Water from both precipitation and runoff flows through these rock piles and carries selenium and other substances, such as nitrate, into the local watershed. And while studies and monitoring indicate that selenium concentrations and other indicators of water quality are at levels that do not appear to have affected the population of fish and other sensitive aquatic populations, we know that action is necessary now to make sure that concentrations do not increase to the levels that could affect these populations. That's why the plan establishes short, medium, and long-term water quality targets that have been approved by the province of British Columbia. Part of the plan to meet these targets, one action we are taking is to build water treatment facilities. In early 2016, we completed commissioning of our first water treatment facility at our Lime Creek operations. We've also, in 2016, undertaken a robust research and development program, and we're implementing additional aquatic monitoring and other water quality measures in order to achieve the targets set out in the plan. Moving now to slide 23. Throughout the presentation, I provided a summary of our outlook for key sustainability topics. Overall, when it comes to sustainability, tech is focused on continuing to improve our social and environmental performance. In particular, we will work towards advancing and ultimately achieving our 2020 sustainability goals in air, biodiversity, water, energy and climate change, community, and our people. We will manage emerging risks and embrace opportunities to further our work in sustainability. And finally, we will continue to support sustainable development on the world stage by aligning our efforts with the Sustainable Development Goals and other major frameworks. And with that, Don and I would be happy to take your questions.
Thank you. So if you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift up your handset before pressing star 1. You may cancel your question by pressing the pound sign. We ask that you please limit your inquiry to one question plus one follow-up. After that, if you have further questions, please rejoin the queue. First question is from Gregory Elders from Bloomberg Intelligence. Please go ahead.
Thank you for your time and presentation. So I guess first question, just one question for now. I noticed for tech resources and a lot of mining companies that community spending has continued to decrease into 2016 to $11.84 million, sort of half the rate it was 5 years ago, even though profits are up, revenue is up this past year. Is that something that you think is going to have to increase going forward? So what's your outlook on community spending? Thank you.
Okay, we're going to turn that one to Mark Edwards.
Good morning. Thanks, Greg. Our community and investment spending is actually tied to a target. We're part of a group called Imagine Canada that has defined a target of 1% of spending, 1% of our EBITDA towards community investment. So as revenue and profits have declined over the last number of years, we've seen that number come down based on a five-year rolling average. So it has had a negative impact to some degree on communities. We work closely with the partners on a community level, inform them of the trends and make sure that they're prepared for those changes, and wherever possible try to find other partners to help support projects that we've been part of.
Okay, great. So I guess then that number will theoretically start to go up as your profits go up, right?
That is correct.
That's correct. As this year substitutes for a weaker year 5 years ago, you'll see the rolling average start to move up. And just a minor clarification, it isn't actually EBITDA. It's earnings before interest taxes, so the depreciation amortization isn't part of the calculation.
Okay.
And you can go on, I think, Imagine Canada's website and see the actual formula there.
Thank you. Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1 at this time. We have a follow-up question from Gregory Elders. Please go ahead, sir.
Why, thank you. So different question. So talking about climate change, I'm just wondering, have you done any analysis of what's going to happen to met coal demand? So, right, if China's going to have emissions trading scheme impacting steel, you make half the world steel. EU is theoretically maybe going to tighten their market. I mean, have you done any analysis what happens in a low carbon world to steel and met coal demand?
Yeah, I can take that question. Yes, we are actually in the process of working on some of those very questions and in the process of preparing our first sort of carbon disclosure report. So we are not quite ready to release that, but it is something that we're working through. I think from our perspective, the kinds of products that we're producing, whether it's steelmaking coal or through our Fort Hills project in Alberta, we know that those products are still, essential to a low carbon economy. We are working to look at sort of what scenario outlook demands are using primarily the scenario analysis through IEA. So I guess I would just I say, Greg, that as we develop those, we will be releasing and talking about them more publicly in the coming months.
Great, thanks.
I mean, I guess I would just also say, the reality is that, the products we produce, whether it's steelmaking coal, copper, zinc, These are really the basic building blocks of society, and you know, we think the long-term demand for all of those products looks strong, even in a low-carbon economy world. So while, yes, there may be changes, we think still fundamentally those products will be required.
Yeah, and then what I would add is within that, we have to make sure that we at Tech are producing those products with the lowest possible carbon footprint that we can. And certainly the measures that are out there when they compare our carbon footprint, whether it be with our steelmaking coal business or our copper business, that we are very low relative to competition at this point, and we have to keep that philosophy.
Thank you. And there are no further questions registered. I'll turn the meeting back over to Mr. Don Lindsay. Please go ahead.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us this morning. If you do have any further questions later, we're always available. A number of people here you could contact, and we will do this again next year. We think it's important. And so once again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your line at this time, and we thank you for your participation.